The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lessons today draw our attention to wealth, power, and caring only about our self-preservation. In our first lesson, Amos is critiquing Israel in how their success is coming at the expense and exploitation of others. Israel has developed from a tribal to agrarian to monarchical to a commercial society. And now there is a critique on that society that has a disparity of people who are winners and losers, those who have and those who do not have. The wealthy see religious observance and devotion as a hindrance to making money. They're also being dishonest in how they're conducting their business. That's also what Amos has trouble with. And that deception is prohibited in Leviticus chapter 19, 36, and Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 to 16. Much of this criticism is timeless. We can see it in our own society. We can see it in societies throughout human history. And I would say for Americans in particular, as religious as we still claim to be as a society, I would argue that much of that is wrapped in identity and not practice. Where the heart of our nation is focused on the economy. It seems what we are always wrapped up in, individually and collectively. That's where our heart is. We know what Jesus says of where our heart is, what that means. We know what Martin Luther says, where our heart is, where our God, who our God is. And because our greed as individuals and as a society takes hold of us, we ultimately value people based on their economic value, which means there are people that are expendable. Now, to be clear, the scriptures, including Amos's criticism here, is about dishonest practices, not about the need to do business itself.
doing business is a normal part of life in that society, in our society today. It's when we do business in such a way that is dishonest that we're essentially stealing from people. You open up your small catechism under the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Luther unpacks that to say you don't sell shoddy merchandise. You don't engage in dishonest practices. And when you do that, you are violating the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And when reflecting on the character of God, we as God's holy people, as beloved children of God, are to be concerned with justice and mercy for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. So a majority of our society might profess a devotion to God with our lips, but our actions do not reflect the kind of people that God calls us to be. Think about those who are most often alienated. Our world, our society is not designed to really fully care for the elderly, the disabled, even children. I say this as a parent with young children. You go into a bathroom to try to take them to the bathroom and then wash their hands. Those sinks aren't designed wanting little kids to wash their hands, right? We don't operate in that way, right? We have some accommodations for people who are disabled, but we don't function that way. You're constantly pushed to the margins. And then, so it's based on economic value and worth. Everybody else is pushed to the side. And in our parable in Luke's gospel, the manager, for whatever reason, believes he can be somewhat reckless in dealing with his boss's property. When he's caught by his boss, he's clearly only looking out for himself. He's trying to win the favor of those who are indebted to his boss. If he does them a favor, then perhaps they'll return the favor when he's out of the job. What's odd is that the manager celebrates him for doing this. And it's the kind of behavior that's seen as a virtue. And we expect that to be celebrated in our society, in parts of our secular society, but to see it celebrated in the scriptures seems odd. The manager was playing with this property, and now his shrewdness is banking on the future. The dishonest manager is proven to be a survivor. He's looking out for himself. He might have been successful in this particular endeavor for self-preservation, but here's the thing. That capital and social capital might have saved his life for the moment, but will his shrewdness ultimately save him? Our faith in our own system and wealth might give us some salvation for today, but is it ultimate? Is it eternal? Our lesson from Amos is convicting, and our parable from Luke is perplexing. Convicted and also bewildered, we look to Jesus. We're called to embody the character of God, caring for the least among us in our society. We look to Jesus to show us how to do that. We repent, turn to our Lord, and are filled with God's love in Christ. We share the love of Jesus that we have received with all people, especially those most often neglected in our society, those most often exploited in our society, and those most often seen as expendable in our society. People like the dishonest manager can only cheat their way out so many times. It will catch up with them. We might find ourselves getting out of a hole here and there to live another day. Yet at the end of the day, we know that we cannot ultimately cheat and escape death. The good news is that Jesus' faithfulness that culminates on the cross gives us a place in the eternal home with God. Jesus is also shrewd, but the difference is that he did not come into the world to preserve himself. Jesus came into the world to give his life so that we and all creation would be reconciled to God. Now, Jesus seems to give some worldly advice. The need to have good connections. I know a few years back when we heard from Marian Matters and their model and trying to bridge people out of poverty in our community, they laid out how social capital is essential in bridging people out of poverty. It calls to mind the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. Now, if you have connections that are purely of this world, that shrewdness can come back to bite you. Because if you're only dealing with people who are looking out to save themselves, then everyone is simply a means to an end. You have no, your only value is what can you do for me today? That's all you are to that kind of social network. We see the value of having good connections and relationships that are far more than a means to an end. The church, embodying the character of God, would not see people as a means to an end, but see the dignity of every person and minister to each one of their needs. And let us not also forget our connection to Jesus himself. Centered in the Word and strengthened in the sacraments, we're given a connection that brings about life and deliverance now and forever. We are free from having to scheme to survive another day, knowing that there is more to life than seeing people as objects and seeing wealth as a means of salvation. For we have a shrewd Savior who does not seek to save his life, but through that love poured out on the cross, seeks to save our lives. We are called to embody this character of God in Christ in how we live our daily lives in this world. Following the way of the cross means we will take risks. And in this congregation, we have taken many risks over the course of 186 years for the sake of the gospel. Many changes over those years. Even in the last 11 years that I have been called to be your pastor, we have seen many changes for the sake of the gospel. We've seen many changes just in the past 2 years in navigating through a pandemic. Are we going to be shrewd? Are we going to preserve our life as a congregation as we know it, or how it used to be? Or are we going to continue to embody the character of God, share the love of Jesus, and follow the way of the cross? Are we going to follow the way of Jesus that takes risks for others, seeking to liberate them and not just to save ourselves? Take risks embodying and sharing and spreading the love, forming, nurturing, and strengthening relationships so that all people would know that they have a community and a home in which they are loved and where they belong always. We are called to be devoted to the one who gives us love and life in abundance now and forever. Beloved children of God, be shrewd like our Savior is. Embody the character of God that is reflected to us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we take risks individually and collectively so that all may know that they have an eternal place with God, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.